Wrestling fans, we are back. This is Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave.
And we are the Brothers of Discussion, and you're listening to our pro wrestling podcast. We hope you guys have had a wonderful, wonderful week, and we really hope that you enjoyed our last episode. We had Daniel Haggerty as a guest, got to talk some of the greatest rivalries in professional wrestling. It was a great conversation, wasn't
and he
it?
He is a big dude.
Yeah, he is. He actually can't wait to come back on, so I can't wait to have him on. But today, on today's topic, we wanted to talk about something a little more somber. We'll be a little serious on this one, and the reason why is because as we're recording this, it is Wednesday, and this past Monday, a WWE legend, and to be technical, it was a WWF legend. He was a legend. He wasn't just in WWF. He started in some of the territories, AWA. There was a bunch of other ones too, but Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff passed away this past Monday, and he was 71 years old, and he had basically been he had been sick, and he had been sick for a while. His father, his son had said that he had been battling with dementia. He believes that it was caused by a traumatic encephalopathy. And I'm sure he had a lot of, a lot of stuff that came from wrestling so many years. But Fanboy Dave, do you have any memories of Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff?
Wasn't it WrestleMania 3 where he teamed up with Roddy Piper to go against Hulk Hogan? And
that was actually WrestleMania 2.
But Mr. Wonderful, good heel. Good heel.
Very good heel. And it's always sad when you hear about, anybody passing away, of course. But when you hear about, wrestlers, especially wrestlers that you grew up watching and grew up idolizing and things like that. So we kind of thought it'd be a good idea to talk about that today and maybe honor the memory of some of those wrestlers that have passed away. So I want to kick it off like this. Fanboy Dave, when you think of wrestlers that have passed away, right? And there, unfortunately, there are many. But which one most affected you?
Oh, it's pretty tough. I mean, I wouldn't say it affected me, but I think it hurt because I remember, I think we talked a little bit about it, but when I told you about Eddie Guerrero, I remember you came to the house and we hugged.
We did.
And
and we hadn't hugged since we were kids, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it just hurt. I mean, Eddie Guerrero, very popular WWE superstar, huge in the Latino community.
Right.
Somebody should get behind. I mean, I know that one. Maybe if I had to guess, I would probably say Mr. Perfect, Curt Hennig.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because, he's Mr. Perfect.
And he was a great heel. And for those of you guys that have been watching wrestling since you were kids, just like us, you can't not tell me that you haven't spit your gum out once and at least hit it with your hand.
Mr. Perfect. Or try to catch the pencil.
Yeah.
What's so crazy about Mr. Perfect passing away, I mean, he was young. I mean, he was 44 years old.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that it was a drug overdose,
And unfortunately, there's a lot of wrestlers that unfortunately passed away that way. Going back to Eddie Guerrero, the crazy thing about him dying was it was technically because of his drug use, but it wasn't because at the time.
Wasn't it steroids, though?
Yeah, I think that was it. But it wasn't that it was because he was doing it at the time.
It was just a side effect of later
exactly.
And then just, him going 300-plus days a year.
Exactly. It all took a toll on him, and he ended up, passing away. But there's so many, unfortunately, that have died so young. And another thing that's unfortunate is they all happen to be from drug use.
Yeah, and Eddie Guerrero was 38.
Yeah. Oh, man. So young. One that comes to mind right away, and his cause of death eludes me at the moment, but I can look it up real quick. Do you remember Test?
Oh, yeah. Test.
He was 33.
Yeah.
When he passed away. And I'm not sure what his cause of death was. I'm actually trying to look it up right now.
I'm sure it was like substance abuse or something.
That's kind of what my memory serves me as well, is that it was substance abuse. Not too long ago. So before I start getting into like listing people that have passed away, are there any that, and I know you mentioned Mr. Perfect, but are there any that like really, really shocked you?
The only one is the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh my God.
It's like, you know, he gets enshrined in the Hall of Fame. You know, he makes his peace with Hulk Hogan because there was no secret. Him and Hulk Hogan had some bad blood.
Right.
And, you know, does his thing. And then the speech, and I'll try to look it up, but it's like he knew he had to make peace.
Right.
Because
right.
He was about to pass away.
That's what it felt like for sure. That's really what it did feel like. Did you happen to see that documentary they did recently on him?
No,
so
I have not seen it.
So apparently, you got to watch it. It's really good. But apparently the history of his family, the men in his family, of the Hellwig family, because his real name was Jim Hellwig before he changed it to Warrior, is that the men in his family all seemed to die at around 50 years old in their
really?
50, in their 50s, basically. And that's basically where he was at. So, and I think if I remember correctly from the documentary, he had seen a doctor when he was younger, and due to his medical history and whatnot, the doctor said, you know, I'd be careful because you may be, it's hereditary. So you know, it ended up happening. Did you find it?
Oh, I found it. And this is what's so great. So, you know, it was the day after WrestleMania, and I mean, the Ultimate Warrior comes out, and his speech was, every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what the man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them believe deeper, is something larger than life, then his essence, his spirit will be immortalized by the storytelling, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever.
Wow. Wow. Crazy. And I highly recommend.
It was April 7, 2014.
I highly recommend, if you haven't seen that that speech that he did, go back into the WWE Network on Peacock and definitely check it out, because it was powerful. It was really powerful. Now, I have to admit, Fanboy Dave, and you tell me if you saw the same thing that night. He looked winded.
Yeah, he did. He looked like winded, and he was tired.
Yeah.
He looked tired.
Yeah.
Like, again, we don't know what was going on in his personal life, but that, like, he was just ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he made his peace. He got enshrined in the WWE Hall of Fame. He told the fans what he thought, and he was just ready.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I guess if anything good can come, well, there was some good that came out of that. WWE now has, you know,
the Warrior Award.
The Warrior Award and things like that. But the fact to be able to make your peace, and you know what I mean, and then be able to move on, I think that's a great thing to have. You know, I don't mean to get personal here, but just I recently lost a very good friend of mine that was a roommate for years and years, and that was one of the things that was bugging me, was because he was in the hospital for a month, and he was there 3 days, and then was put on a ventilator.
Wow.
And pretty much never came out of that. And so I felt I had not made my peace with him, right? And that was one of the big things that bothered me. So the fact that Warrior got to go and make peace with past things and stuff like that, I mean, great for him. You know, that's so awesome. I'll tell you right now, the first death, a wrestling death that comes to mind that shook my world, I was really young at the time. I was probably about, oh my God, let me look him up, because it's really going to matter, like, what year it happened is what I'm trying to remember. There was a wrestler by the name of Gino Hernandez. And Gino Hernandez wrestled in World Class Championship Wrestling. This is back in the very early 80s. He was 28 years old, Fanboy Dave, when he died. Now, his death was because of drug overdose. So he died in 1986. So I was about, if I'm not mistaken, I was 11. That one got me because I remember going to a live event with our dad. He took me and didn't take you because you were not born yet, I think. Or you?
86. I was
no,
six.
No, this the event I'm talking about was before 86.
Oh.
So it was probably, you were born, but you were just very little. So you probably were like 3 years old or something like that, 3 or 4 years old. And Gino Hernandez wrestled at this event, and I'll never forget our dad's friend cussing and yelling at him, and he just always stuck out of my mind because he was such a great heel. Oh, man, he was such a great heel. And then to hear that he died and finding out that it was an overdose, that was the first one that really stuck out in my mind that I remember that far back. And like I said, I was 11 years old. Of course, right after that, you have the very, very unfortunate tragedy of the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
You know, David Von Erich was the first one to pass away. I think David Von Erich passed away, let's see, that was 86 for Gino Hernandez. Let me see, David Von Erich. Yeah, so David Von Erich actually passed away before Gino Hernandez. He died in 1984. He was 25.
Wow.
Dude, that is very young. And the way he passed away, it had something to do with his stomach. They thought it was drugs, but it wasn't drugs. He had some kind of a stomach condition, and he ended up dying in his sleep, which was very unfortunate. And that, unfortunately, seemed to start a very tragic chain of events in the Von Erich family. And after a few years passed, pretty much the rest of the family, with the exception of Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah, he was there for a while.
They all passed away, yeah. So you had Mike Von Erich, who committed suicide. Carrie Von Erich committed suicide as well. They had another little brother. I just can't remember his name. He also committed suicide. So the only one that didn't commit suicide was David Von Erich, who died because of this thing that he had with his stomach. Man, you talk about, I mean, not only did it hit the Texas fans, but it pretty much brought down world-class championship wrestling.
Well, yeah, they were the main attraction.
Yeah, and of course their dad was the one that ran the place. He owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So yeah, so there's a lot of wrestlers, unfortunately, that died that were very young. Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, he was 39.
Yep.
Crash Holly, you remember him?
Yep.
32 years old. Chris Von Erich, that's their other brother. He was 21. He committed suicide as well. I'm trying to see here the young ones, you know, the ones that...
Well,
that,
Lance Cage. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people didn't know it, but I thought learning under Shawn Michaels' tree, I thought he would have become a star, but
right.
He died young too.
How old was he, do you know?
Was he 29?
Oh, wow.
I don't know, he was young.
Do you... This one shocked me. This, I can't remember, it was a few years ago.
Yeah, he was 29.
29. Ashley Massaro.
Yeah.
She was 39.
Yeah. She was it drugs? Like suicide?
I think it might have been suicide, I can tell you.
Well,
undisclosed causes is what this says.
Well, I can tell you it wasn't really a shock, but I really didn't watch WCW, but when I found out like the original La Parker died, I was like, what?
Oh yeah. So the crazy thing about it is some of these Mexican wrestlers, when they died, there was just some weird circumstances. Let me get his name right. El Hijo de Perro Aguayo. Did you hear about his death?
Did you say a dog?
That was his name. His father was named Perro Aguayo.
Oh.
Okay. So in Mexican lucha libre culture, sometimes when you continue on with the family legacy, sometimes they'll take on the name of the son of blah, 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 like El Santo. Well, when his son took over, he was El Hijo del Santo, okay? So it just depends on the name. So this guy, he was known as El Hijo del Perro Aguayo. That was his wrestling name. This happened not that long ago. It was just a couple of years ago, I think. He was another one that was young. I'll have to look him up. If you want to get technical, technically he was... God, dude, I don't want to say it like this because it sounds so bad, but Unfortunately, he passed away at the hands of Rey Mysterio.
Oh, I heard about that when Rey Mysterio gave him the 619 in Mexico.
Yes, but see, I think I got to look at the video because it's on video. I think when he fell in the rope, that's when it happened. So if that's the case, then it wasn't Rey. It was the fact that he fell, because I think what happened when he fell on his on the rope, he broke his neck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I don't remember for the life of me how old he was. I'm trying to see if he's on this list, because I've pulled up a list of wrestlers that have passed away. But he's got to be on here. I'll if I can't find him now, I'll find him during the break. But yeah, that was just a really unfortunate accident. Take another one that passed away. I think it was just last year, Shad Gaspar.
Yeah, he was, I guess, vacationing with his family,
trying to save his son from drowning, and then he ended up drowning. An accident.
Yeah,
you know, a complete accident. Let me see. Yeah, he didn't come up on this particular list. He might have been older, because I'm looking at the ones that died that were before the age of 50.
Right.
So young deaths is what I'm looking at here. Bam Bam Bigelow, he was only 45.
Yeah, Big Boss Man was 41.
Mm-hmm. Balls Mahoney was 44. Let me see. I'm trying to... Big John Studd, for those of y'all that are 80s wrestling fans, he was 47. Now, the one that shocked so many people last year was Brody Lee, or Luke Harper, as he was known in WWE. He was 41. And he didn't die because of COVID, but he had some kind of... A lung
health
thing.
Issue.
Yeah, and he ended up passing away. Now, that one was a shock. Bruiser Brody, his death, he was only 42. And I saw, I don't know if you watched Dark Side of the Ring.
I've seen it before.
The one on him, oh, man, it's just the fact that his murder case is still not solved. And everybody pretty much knows who did it. It's just such a tragedy, what happened to him. But Bruiser Brody was definitely a legend. Let's see. We have Chris Candido. He was 33.
Crush was 43.
Yeah, and of course, everybody knows the very unfortunate death of Chris Benoit. He was 40. Gentleman Chris Adams, the man that... pretty much gave us the super kick.
Mm-hmm.
He was 46.
So was Brian Christopher Lawler.
Yes.
He was 46.
Chris Canyon was 40.
Yeah, I think he was better as, what was his other?
Mortis.
Yeah. He was cool.
Yeah. China was 46 when she passed away. Let's see who else we got here. Dino Bravo from the 80s. He was 44. Oh, Earthquake. Remember him?
Yep.
He was 42. And let's see, Gino Hernandez, I mentioned. Oh, another great wrestler from, he was from Japan, though. Very legendary. He was known as Hayabusa. I don't know if you ever saw his stuff.
I did not.
You should look it up. It's very impressive. A lot of the high flyers that we know now that do all the stuff that they do, they got it from Hayabusa. He was one of the greatest. He had an unfortunate accident in the ring and paralyzed himself. But the awesome story about Hayabusa is that he ended up being able to walk again.
Wow.
Yeah, he was never able to wrestle again, you know, unfortunately, but he was able to walk again, and he passed away at the age of 47.
Giant Gonzalez was 44.
Yeah. Wow. That's very young. I'm trying to see who else here. There's some on this list that are not as well known. I don't know if you remember back in the, I guess he would be the early 90s, the referee Joey Morella. Apparently he died at 31, which is really young.
WWE, WCW?
WWE, yeah. Know. Junkyard Dog was 45.
Yeah.
Carrie Von Erich was 33. Luna Vachon, she was 48. And Rosie, or Matt Anouai, which was Roman Reigns' brother.
Oh, from 3 Minute Warning?
Mm-hmm. He was 47. Let's see here.
Mike Awesome, 42.
Mm-hmm, 42.
This is for ECW people.
Miss Elizabeth was 42. Mike Von Erich was 23. Of course, Nancy Benoit, she was 43. Owen Hart was 34.
I remember that pay-per-view.
Did Were you watching it?
Yeah.
What happened? I didn't see that pay-per-view. So what happened?
Well, because he was the Blue Blazer gimmick and he was supposed to come down. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, Vince is not going to let you do something unless he does it first. So mm-hmm. Vince wanted him to come down like a superhero, or like a bird. But Vince did it before the show, put on the stuff. And it was just an unfortunate misaccident that the clip or something busted and he hit his head on that top turnbuckle. And I think it was instant.
So
JR was right there and he's like, unfortunately, this and that. And they take Owen to the hospital and then he announced it. Owen Hart had died.
So when it was time for that match, they did that. I'm assuming they did that whole like video package that shows.
Yeah, and I think he was supposed to come down. And I think when he's coming down, I think the camera turned when it just.
I see.
Because like you don't see it in the pay-per-view.
What do you think, in your opinion, about the decision to go on with the show after that happened?
I mean, it's a tough decision. But, I mean, you have people that pay their good hard-earned money,
right,
to see a show. But it was just like, you know, with the unfortunate September 11th, you know, nobody wanted to do anything. And the WWE was the first people to like, hey, we're going to honor these people, but we need to move on.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I get that. I think one of the biggest things was that, you know, that it could possibly be considered a crime scene, you know, that maybe they should have stopped the show. But, you know, to each their own. So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's one of those. Everybody can speculate. I mean, what's done is done. You can't go back and change the past, you know. But Owen Hart was a definite unfortunate. I mean, they were all unfortunate, but it was that was one that really.
Before his time. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I mean, he probably would probably won the WWE title
at some point. I think so too. He definitely had all the tools, and they were definitely, you know, starting to push him into that spot, you know. So it's just very sad all around. Very, very sad. So we're going down this.
I think another one was. Well, because, I mean, 2020, nobody really, you know, had anything good about 2020. But
yeah,
it was Animal.
Yes.
Animal passed away.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
I think he was 60.
Yeah, so now, and I got to tell you, I'm looking at this list here, and I'm seeing people on here that I didn't even know had passed away.
Like who?
Bad News Brown. He was from the early 90s. I don't know if you remember him. I didn't know he passed away. Hmm. And apparently he did. He was 63 when he passed away, though. Of course, you can't forget greats like Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, yes.
He was 72.
Did you say Umaga already?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was 36.
Eddie Fatu, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that one was. We got to see him live because we went to the same event there in San Antonio and got to see him wrestle live.
Yeah, the Patriot died this year too.
Yes, I heard about that.
He was 59.
59 years old. And let's see, got some legends that I'm looking at right now on this list.
You said Terry Gordy already?
No, I did not. He I was looking at the list of
he was 40.
Wow. Wow. Chavo Guerrero Sr., he was 68. Yeah, it's crazy how many have passed away, and a lot of them were because of drugs. I think it has a lot to do with that lifestyle that they live. It could definitely be, you can compare it to that rock star lifestyle, you know,
the rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. But like you were saying, you said it a while ago that they're on the road like 300 days a year, you know, and that's gotta put some serious stress on you, you know. And yeah, they're working out and everything, but they've got pain that they deal with, which is why they get addicted to painkillers. I'm sure they have depression that they have to deal with because of sometimes not being there for their family. Some of the cases, they lose their family. I mean, there's just so many factors. It's a very hard, hard life. Of course, one of the legends that passed away a few years ago, Dusty Rhodes, and his legacy can be felt still to this day.
Well, I mean, Triple H is running NXT, but Dusty Rhodes was NXT, but from the ground
for
up.
For sure. And some of those, the old alumni of NXT still speak of him very, very highly. So, yeah, definitely. Some other legends that passed away at fairly old ages. You got the Fabulous Moolah. She was 83. Classy Freddie Blassie was 85. Fritz Von Erich, the patriarch of the Von Erich family, was only 68 when he died.
Well, The Rock's dad passed away.
That's right. Rocky Johnson did, too. Wow, here's one that I didn't know passed away. Gary Hart. He's another one from the 80s. He used to manage Kabuki along with a bunch of other ones. He was 66.
Yeah. My favorite caller of the ring or announcer was Gorilla Monsoon.
Mm. He just came up right here.
He was 62. But yeah. Him and Bobby Heenan, man, talk about they knew what each other were thinking.
Yeah. They were a great
broadcast team.
Yeah, broadcast team for sure. Howard Finkel was 69. I don't know if you remember this guy. He was from the 80s too, but Ivan Koloff. He was 74. And, we can't forget Jim the Anvil Neidhart. He was a couple of years ago. He passed away. He was 63. And then Superfly Jimmy Snuka was 73. Who's the father of Tamina.
Yeah, but you can't forget about Captain Lou Albano.
Nope, Captain Lou Albano. Yeah, another 76. Legend. Another legend. From San Antonio, Mr. Jose Lothario. He was 83 when he passed. Kamala.
Yeah.
He died not too long ago. He was 70. Trying to see here if there's any of them.
Viscera, or Big Daddy V.
Yes.
He was 43. Yeah.
You know, you were mentioning La Parca earlier.
Yeah.
La Parca, so the La Parca that passed away, and the reason he passed away, I'm remembering now, it happened to be because of an injury he suffered in the ring.
But the La Parca I'm talking about is from WCW, right?
No.
That's not the original?
No, it's not the original. Oh. No, so the one from WCW is the original, but that's not the one that died.
Oh.
The one that died was another one. He's a lot skinnier. He became, he made the La Parca name famous just because of his charisma and stuff. The actual original La Parca that was from WCW is still wrestling to this day. Is still alive. He goes by the name L.A. Park.
Ah.
Yeah. So I don't get the whole legalities of it. It's I don't know why he lost the name, but he goes by L.A. Park now. But yes, La Parca, and he was 55 when he passed away. So, yeah. I mentioned Luna Vachon. Of course, Mean Gene, he was another one. He died. He was 76. Mike Shaw, he was more of a jobber in WWE. He was known as Bastion Booger.
Ah, yes, I remember.
Yeah, him. He was 53 when he died. Mike Awesome was 42. Mr. Fuji was 82. Oh, this year, wasn't it this year that New Jack died?
Oh, yes, New Jack did die.
Yeah, he was 58. And I am not sure how he passed away. I don't know if that was just health reasons or what. Oh, a heart attack. Okay, so he had a heart attack. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, New Jack was crazy, though.
He was very crazy.
I did see that Dark Side of
Wrestling. Yeah, that was like, something else. And that incident that he's famous for, the mass transit incident, that was crazy. Of course, the great Peter Maivia, he was 45 when he died. And we just talked about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, who passed away. He was 71. Let's see here. Ah, here's a referee that I didn't know had passed away. He was, I want to say he was a WCW one, but he was pretty popular. Randy Anderson. You'd have to see his face probably. But he was 42. And the fake razor.
The fake razor.
Yeah, his name was Rick Bogner. Apparently he's passed away. He was 49.
Wow.
Yeah,
he wasn't a good fake razor. Wasn't.
Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
Of course, he was only 58.
Yeah, but the way he died.
Yeah, that was just so.
Heart attack going into a
tree because he was driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't his wife in the car with him? But she was okay, though.
Yeah, because they weren't going too fast. I think it was just like a street, like 35 miles or something like that. But still.
Right. So, I mean, I know today it's like, seems like we're just kind of going through a list and stuff, but, you know, of people that have passed away, but these are wrestlers that, you know, we grew up with, we grew up watching, and having them pass away was, you know, I mean, it may not have made like such a really big impact. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was one that did, but, you know, I think that's because we'd been watching him for years. Like my brother said, he was, you know, Latino, and you kind of connect with that because you're also Latino, and it was a big deal, you know, but some of these others is the same way. So, you know, I'm not just trying to make this a show where we're just listing off wrestlers. I want to honor these guys because what they do in the ring, you know, a lot of people may laugh at the art of pro wrestling and, you know, may use, like, using that F word that we talk about all the time. But, you know, it's, I mean, they sacrificed their bodies. You know, a lot of them did pass away because of the business that they were in, because of them trying to cope with pains and aches. And unfortunately, that led to addiction. And a lot of them, that ended up, you know, having them overdose. And then some of them leading to depression and them having, and then going and committing suicide. So there's just so many factors to this, you know. But we just want to, like I said, we just want to honor them and talk a little bit about them. And, you know, and when they spring up memories for us, like you were talking about Animal, Road Warrior, Animal. And then, of course, Hawk was passed away, too.
Well, Hawk passed away years
ago, I know. Yeah. But, I mean, just the Road Warriors in general spark so many memories because, dude, talk about a dominant tag team. I mean, they'd start off a match and would just beat on their opponent mercilessly, you know, and it's just, they were.
Yeah. Well, I think you probably watched since you're a lot older than me.
Yeah, thanks.
as the Road Warriors, because my memories is when they came to WWE and they're the Legion of Doom.
Right, right, right.
So,
and they pretty much were the same guys that they were. The only difference was, I think when they were in WCW, they had different music, but that was about it. Other than that, it was the same tag team. Well, listen, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're just going to keep talking about more, you know, legends, pro wrestling legends that have passed away, talk about more memories that they spark up. And as you're listening to the show, I do want to encourage you, if you have any memories of certain wrestlers, feel free to email us and let us know. Share those memories with us. We'll be more than happy to bring it up on the next show. We'll touch on it a little bit. And you can do that at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. And just share your memories with us, okay? But for now, we're going to take a quick break and let you hear from one of our sponsors. And then we'll be right back with more. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailored-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look. Thanks for sticking with us. Today we are talking about, honestly, we're just honoring wrestlers that have since passed away. Reason again for this show is that Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff just passed away this week, and we just felt that it would be appropriate to do a show where we honor the memory of a lot of our favorite pro wrestlers that have moved on. So we're going to continue with that. So is there are there any other wrestlers that you can think of that, that passed away that, you know, brought some good memories for you? I can think of one right off the top of my head right now.
Well, no, I mean, I can still talk about Owen Hart.
For sure.
Because I remember when they came to the Drum, and for people that don't know what the Drum is, it's, you know, the Frank Arnold Center in Austin, Texas.
Right.
But he was doing the whole gimmick of being the Black Heart of the family. And they were calling him a Nugget, you know?
We went to that show together.
Were you there with me?
Yeah, because we were yelling Nugget from the top.
We went over there to where the wrestlers would come in, and, you know, we're at... And we were yelling at him. And he's like, "I am not a Nugget."
Yeah.
You know, and I said, "I'm not. I'm, damn it, I'm a Black Heart." And then he just like looks and laughs.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, "That was his gimmick." Because, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He looked right at you and pointed because you did that spot on. That was really good. I remember that. That's a good memory. Mm-hmm. And actually, it wasn't too long after that he passed away, which was, man,
unfortunate.
Yeah. I'll tell you one wrestler that comes to mind, and the cool thing about him is he's probably arguably the best heel in the business, and that's Rowdy Piper. And the awesome thing about him is that I have great memories of him from when I was a kid in the 80s, but then he also stretched all the way into the 90s and into the 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, he was...
Well, he went to WCW, didn't he?
He did. And then he ended up coming back to WWE. And the reason why I remember that is because my wife and I went to a SmackDown taping. And he was there. It was actually the SmackDown. He came out and announced to everyone that he had beat cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were there at that one. So to be able to see Rowdy Piper live, I mean, his promos were just amazing. And the fact that he did that off the cuff is just, there's nobody like him anymore. I mean, he is definitely one of a kind. The most memorable thing from when I was a kid was what he did in Piper's Pit to Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, with the coconut?
Yeah, when he hit him over the head with a coconut. That was one of the most memorable things that he did, because at the time, as a kid, I was a huge Jimmy Snuka fan. And the fact that he hit Snuka with a coconut, you just wanted to see Roddy Piper get his butt kicked, man. And the fact that he would always seem to weasel his way out of everything. Man, I remember the old cartoon of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. That would come on Saturday mornings.
Yes, yes. And the Roddy Piper cartoon character in that one was hilarious. You could definitely tell it wasn't his voice, but it was so funny. It was so good. It was such an awesome time for wrestling back in the 80s. And Roddy Piper made a huge impact on it and was such a trailblazer and such a legend. I mean, there's no other word to describe him but that, legend, you know. The one match that seems to get that people don't talk about that much is, who was it that he wrestled?
Were you talking about Goldust?
No, I think when he wrestled, was it Bad News Brown? He painted half his body black.
Ooh.
So pretty much he was in blackface is what it was. And I know it was at a WrestleMania. I just don't know which one. But I would not be surprised if the network took it off the network because of that.
I'm sure it's not even on the network.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If Peacock is probably, because I mean, even now on Peacock, they don't have everything that was on WWE Network.
No,
they're bringing
don't.
In slowly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm sure they're checking everything.
I'm sure. So
because we're PG.
Yeah, of course. Whatever.
You know what was shockingly surprising to me?
What's that?
Is that, you know, looking at some of these lists and whatever, like Doink, the original Doink the Clown passed away, but, you know, not knowing, because there's been before the pandemic and everything, like Doink the Clown would come to do those like battle royals.
Oh, right. So there was
somebody in the gimmick.
There was still somebody playing Doink, but it wasn't the original Doink.
Right.
I got you.
So we're like, how old is he?
He's still kicking? Yeah, it wasn't him. That's funny. We talked about Shad Gaspar. And who we can say definitely died a hero because he was saving his son from drowning. Silver King from Mexico. I don't know if you remember him. He came out.
I don't know who that is.
So Silver King used to come out in WCW all the time. He used to come out with a cowboy hat and stuff, but what a lot of people don't know is that he also came out in the movie Nacho Libre.
I think I've seen that.
He was the one that played Ramses, the guy that wrestles Jack Black at the end, basically. That was Silver King.
Yeah, I don't remember. All I remember from that movie is, do you like my stretchy pants?
Dr. Dusty Williams, he was 49 when he died.
He was in the Fall for Brawl, was it?
Brawl for All.
Brawl for All.
Yeah. He was supposed to win it, too, and that didn't happen. Oh, I didn't know Skandar Akbar passed away. Oh, I got to see when he died, because he's been on there's been a lot of documentaries where he was talking. You probably don't remember him.
I do not.
He was in World Class Championship Wrestling. He led a stable called Devastation Incorporated. And he was just awesome. It looks like he passed away from prostate cancer.
Oh, wow.
He died in 2010, and he was 75. He was another one of those. It was an awesome heel. An awesome heel. So I'm seeing a bunch here that I didn't grow up with, but I know the names. For example, Stu Hart. He was 88 when he passed away.
Well, without Stu Hart, there's no Dungeon. There's no Hart Foundation, you know, like... I'm sure he's probably still honored in Canada.
Oh, he's a Canadian hero, man. You might be too young, but do you remember a guy that used to go by the name of the Missing Link?
No.
No? Okay, so he was another guy from World Class Championship Wrestling. He had a green face. He used to have bushy hair that he would grab, and he would headbutt people by grabbing his hair, and he was a crazy character. But apparently he died when he was 68. I think he died a while back. I don't think this was anything recent. Looks like he died in 2007 and he had lung cancer. So of course the Sheik, who is...
Well, I know somebody we don't talk about because he never really made a impact in wrestling because he was still young.
Who's that?
But I think it also put the fire, but Reed Flair... Like, he was supposed to be the one to be like his father.
Right.
And I believe, we've talked about it in other podcasts, is that there's no doubt in my mind that Charlotte Flair is going to go down as the greatest history. But I think her brother passing away just lit that fire on her, like, because I knew when she started, she's like, I'm doing this for my brother.
Right. Had he not passed away, we wouldn't have a Charlotte Flair.
Probably not. She probably wouldn't have went into wrestling.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Do you know how old Reed was?
He was 20, no. But I know he died in March 29, 2013, drug overdose.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
I don't know how old he was.
Of course, Yokozuna. Yokozuna was also young when he passed away. He was 30.
But isn't that so crazy about Yoko? Like me growing up as a kid watching him, I was thinking that he was Asian.
Right.
You know, and he's from the Samoan dynasty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, man. I mean, he was just so good at the gimmick. I mean, it was awesome. Someone that we don't really see as a wrestler, but in reality, he was for a little while, and that's Tommy Lister. Zeus.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. No Holds Barred.
Yeah. He was 62, and he... didn't die that long ago, right? Yeah, he died last year, 2020. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's also a movie star. He came out in movies like Friday, and he was...
Debo. My grandma, give me that chain.
Yeah, Debo.
You know who else they put?
What you got with my drink, boo?
Sorry. You know who else they put?
Who?
But he wasn't a full-time wrestler either. Kenny Green, who played for the Green Bay Packers.
Really?
He was, I think, in WCW for a while.
Oh, wow. I was not
I think
aware
his name was Kenny Green.
So we have already some wrestlers that have passed away just this year you were talking about. Of course, we know you mentioned the Patriot. And, of course, Paul Orndorff passed away. New Jack died this year. But Jim Crockett Jr., the promoter.
From Crockett Promotions? Mm-hmm. From the territory days?
Yep, he died this year. Looks like he died from liver and kidney failure and from COVID-19. He was 76. and Butch Reed. Oh, you don't know Butch Reed, but I remember him.
I don't know who that is.
He was a old school wrestler and another one that passed away from COVID-19. So
COVID-19 took a few wrestlers.
Yeah, definitely. So
dang COVID.
Looking here, so last year we lost Luke Harper, Hana Kimura, Pat Patterson. We mentioned Shad Gaspar. And then last year was when Rocky Johnson passed away.
I just feel terrible for The Rock that he didn't get to say bye to his dad.
Yeah, that was a very unfortunate. I heard about that and I was like, wow, that's just crazy. So, man, that's quite a list. What do you think of that, man? I mean, that the fact that that many wrestlers have passed away, and to be fair, just by looking at this list, it's like you don't see a lot of the wrestlers from the old days, the 70s and stuff like that. There's a lot from, you know, 80s and 90s, especially the 90s that died. And I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about. It's just that life that they...
Well, yeah, because back in the 70s, now you had your territory. So, I mean, you weren't going that far, you know, because it was just the unwritten rule. Like, you know, you don't try to go make money in a territory that's not yours.
Right, right.
So I guess that could be a reason that why it started the whole, like you said, the rock and roll.
Right.
A lifestyle of the drugs, the women, the booze.
Right.
Because you were away from your family a lot more than you were when the territories were the promotions of wherever you went in South America, or I mean, south of the U.S., or if you went up north, mm-hmm, I mean, it mm-hmm. was just, you know, territories do a week and then you come back.
Right, right. So the year that Brian Christopher died, that was the year that I went to on a road trip with my father-in-law. We went to Nashville, and you remember I texted you.
Oh yeah, you went to Jerry King Lawler's
his bar. Or his restaurant, whatever you want to call it. It's both bar and restaurant.
But he had the best name, Grandmaster Sexy.
He did. But I'll never forget, I think I sent you a picture, right, that Jerry Lawler had a sign on his door saying something about they were going to be closed or something. It was because that...
It was his birthday the day he passed away?
I think it was either his son's birthday or they were saying that he wasn't going to be there because his son had just passed away and he was going to be with the family or something like that. The place was open. I do know that. But just that he wasn't going to be there. And I remember asking about Jerry Lawler, how often he's there. And they say he's there pretty often, but he wasn't there because of the fact that... his son had passed away, and he did unfortunately pass away due to suicide.
Right. I mean, you know, can't imagine that. You know, like they always say, you know, you're not supposed to see your children go first.
No, not at all. One that we didn't mention was Brian Pillman. He was another one that died at a very young age. He was 35 years old.
He would have been a star too.
I mean, he was already.
He wasn't fully. Main event,
right?
But you could see he was going that way.
Oh, for sure. So many unfortunate things happened to him too. That's another one of the dark sides of the ring that if you haven't seen, you should see his, because it was something else. But I mean, the one thing that I think he's really most famous for is the segment that he had with Stone Cold.
Yeah, we talked
about that last week when we talked about the rivalries thing. That's taking it to another level.
And didn't he get the injury bug quite a bit?
Well, he was injured when he got signed to WWE, and he got it from a car wreck. It was his leg, and he actually was wrestling on it before he should have. Like I said, you got to watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode on him, because according to this, he died of a heart attack. It wasn't due to drugs, although I'm sure it had to do with that. Of course, one of the legends who passed away back in 2018 was Bruno Sammartino.
I know that was a loss for the people up in New York.
For sure.
I mean, the Garden and all that, like, that dude, like, legend status.
Yeah, he made
I mean, he was famous. A champion for what, 2-3 years? I don't remember how long. He was a champ for a long time.
Yeah, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a long, long time. So a couple of other ones that you probably don't know. Buddy Roberts, he was one of the fabulous Freebirds. He passed away back in 2012. He was only 65. Unfortunately, he passed away because he was sick with pneumonia. Seeing a couple of here that I've never really heard of. Chase Tatum, apparently he was in WCW. Another legend, Danny Hodge, he was 88. So, you know, he lived a pretty decent life. Dino Bravo, I mentioned him earlier. He was 44. I don't know if I mentioned Dynamite Kid. He was the partner for the British Bulldog. And he had such bad luck. I mean, just what he had to go through. According to this, it even says that unknown causes for what he died from.
Yeah, because didn't they say that he had the it factor?
He did. He did. I mean, he was actually the template, if you will, for Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit idolized Dynamite Kid. Dynamite Kid was the one that did the diving headbutt. And then, of course, Chris Benoit, that was his finisher as well. So, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some specific wrestlers that, you know, really kind of got to us and why they meant so much to us. And, you know, just like I said, to honor them and talk about some memorable matches and things like that. But we'll discuss more about that when we come back after this message from our sponsor. So keep it here.
Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today.
Just talking a little bit during the break here, and you said Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper died the same year, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So we've been talking about wrestlers that we've lost. Again, just to recap, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff passed away this past week, and so we just kind of wanted to honor some wrestlers and kind of let you know who's passed away. So what I want to do with these last few minutes we have on our show is I want to talk about, you know, specific wrestlers and just talk about some real, like, memories. And you wanted to mention, we didn't really talk about him that much, but he's a good one, and is Rick Rude.
Ravishing Rick Rude. Ravishing, I think, Rick, that's Rude. Where Lana stole the ravishing part.
Right, right. And one of the most memorable things he did, go ahead.
Well, he was in D-Generation X, mm-hmm. and I don't know who screwed the pooch on this one, but
right.
It was recorded, and so, you know, Monday Night during the Monday Night Wars.
Right.
So he comes out with DX, but WCW is live, and then he comes out with the NWO, and you're like, how is he on both shows at the same time? Like, you know, and it was just one of those things that you learn. Like, and now WWE is a little bit more, you know, guarded on that. It's like, yeah, we got to make sure, just because you can't be on your competition show on the same night.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And he's the only one that's ever done that, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's the only one. Yeah, that's crazy. And that's definitely something that's going to go down in history, to say the least.
He could be like, I was the first person to be in DX and the NWO on the same night.
That's pretty memorable for sure. So the wrestler that I want to talk about that I guess was the most memorable for me, and I've already said his name in the show, but that is Eddie Guerrero. He has so many memorable matches that stick out in my mind. I was introduced to Eddie Guerrero in WCW.
And, the Cruiserweights?
Yeah, when he was in the Cruiserweights. And I got to be honest, when he first came out, I was, I just thought, stereotypical Mexican. He had that mullet going on. He had that. He had that Mexican mustache.
He did have that mustache.
It just looked so like, I mean, just so typical Theo with the can of beer leaning on his, you know, Chevy outside in the front yard kind of vibe to it, you know. But when I saw him in the ring, oh my God, he was phenomenal. His look, of course, changed after time. He kind of had an edgier look to him, but he rocked that mullet, though, and he rocked it for a long time. One of his most memorable matches that comes to mind for me is Halloween Havoc, and good Lord, I don't remember the year, but I just remember that we talked about it last week, where he wrestled Rey Mysterio Jr. at the time, and that match was amazing, and I want to say it was 96, maybe 97. But it ended up winning Match of the Year in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And it was one hell of a match. And then, of course, when he went to WWE, it's just like he upped his game.
When he went to WWE, he went with the Radicals, right?
Right, he went with the Radicals. But for me, when he was with the Radicals, there wasn't really anything too memorable for me. I'm just saying for me. When he started doing that whole lie, cheat, and steal gimmick, that was when he started to become real entertaining. But bro, that match with Brock Lesnar, oh man, you talk about being emotionally invested in a match. That match was amazing.
Didn't he lose his shoe in that match?
No, I think that was with Kurt Angle.
Oh, it was. Oh,
yeah, man. That was with Kurt Angle. No, this was the match where freaking Brock Lesnar kept telling him, "Die, Eddie, just die," because he would cover him and he'd keep kicking out. But of course, Eddie. He lie, he cheat, he steals, and that's what he did in the match, and he ended up beating Brock Lesnar, and that crowd went insane when he won that belt. Great match. Every now and then I'll go back.
Championship.
Championship, yes. Every now and then I'll go back and watch it just because it was such an awesome match. But
him and China had a good chemistry.
Yes, yes, they did. And he got really good with the comedy around that time. Really, he got really good. I mean, if you got to hear Eddie Guerrero talk like normal, he didn't talk the way he did on TV, although it was hilarious because it was so stereotypical. Orale, vato, what you doing, man? I mean, going and talking.
Oh, yeah, his shirt. I'm your papi. Who yeah. Like the shirt?
Yeah. And Eddie Guerrero was just one of the best ever because he could make you love him, but then he could turn around and make you hate him. And it's just... To be able to do that is such an art that I don't think a lot of people, not that they don't understand, but they don't appreciate how difficult that is. I mean, to get someone to get people to like you and then to turn around and hate you the very next minute, I mean, that's not easy. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and Eddie Guerrero was definitely one of the best that was able to do that. And I shared this story last time about... You know, when he passed away, when I heard he passed away, I mean, God forgive me, but yeah, I did really think, oh, please let it be Chavo and not Eddie. And I know it sucks to say that, but I was just that much invested in Eddie Guerrero and, you know, just to hear. And then to hear the story about how he passed, I've heard Chavo talk about it and the fact that Eddie died in his arms. And it's just...
Yeah, I think he was getting ready and brushing his teeth
in
the hotel.
And I mean, that was his uncle, but they were like brothers, basically, because they grew up together. I mean, I can't even imagine the pain of having to deal with that, you know. But what about you? What's a wrestler that, like, I mean, you can go back and look at some of the matches again and you know, because they were one of your favorites. And, you know, who is it for you?
Well, I mean, like, I mean... Say the Ultimate Warrior, Mr. Perfect, Macho Man. I mean, it's just, I mean, all of them were so charismatic, you know, and you could do, see, I mean, we've said it in podcast previews, like, one of the best matches is Ricky Steamboat and the Macho Man. Mm. Like,
yeah,
that's a good match. Or what I liked about Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, is And maybe I watched a little bit of WCW with the NWO there.
Okay.
But when Kurt Hennig did his whole rap is crap
video. Yes.
Like, I'm like, that was funny. I can't remember the song, but that was, and then just, you know,
rap is crap.
Yeah. And I'm just like, hey, it's got a catchy tune. I like country music. Let's go.
I forgot all about that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the Ultimate Warrior. I actually watched the match between Hogan and Warrior today, the WrestleMania one.
Yeah, WrestleMania 6, right?
Yeah.
Champion versus champion.
I actually watched it on they have that WrestleMania Rewind on the network.
Right.
So you get to see the whole, like, little documentary they have on it, and then they actually show you the match. Man, I watched the match. I got to tell you, I've said this in past podcasts, how this sport that we love so much is so much about storytelling. And I know I've said it, it's like beating a dead horse, but, you know, I feel like that's what's lacking in the product nowadays is that storytelling. Because when I looked at it today, I actually watched it and I got lost in the story. It's easy to get lost in the story, right? But I wanted to kind of watch it objectively and just like what they did. And to be honest, they didn't do much, right? They really didn't. When they start the match out, they did the whole, you know, pushing each other, throwing each other across the ropes and bumping into each other. Then they did the whole Greco-Roman knuckle thing.
Right.
And I swear they stood there for like 10 minutes. But because of the story they were telling and just those moves, the crowd was going nuts. You know what I mean?
Like, well, yeah, because it was like, not that we get political on this show, but... You know, right now people say, like, we're divided 50-50. That's how it was. I mean, you had Hulkamaniac fans.
Right.
And you had Warrior fans, and it was split right down the middle.
Right. But what I'm saying is, what just blew my mind is that, so Warrior is over Hogan in that Greco-Roman knuckle thing, and Hogan's on his knees, and the crowd's going crazy. Well, then Hogan gets up on one knee, and then all of a sudden the crowd erupts, and it's like, physically, they're not doing much, right? So then there was another part in the match where Hogan had Ultimate Warrior in a rear, you know, choke or whatever you call it, where he has him in a headlock, basically.
Right.
And you can tell, if you look at it close, Ultimate Warrior's resting because he's loose. Like, it's not even under his chin or anything like that. And it's a rest hold is what it is. But again, the way these guys play it, facial expressions, the little movements in the arms and everything, it just sucked you in and you just bought the story. Right after that, I watched Hogan and Rock. I watched that match and just how the fans erupted. And again, it was an awesome match, you know. And I remember watching it the first time, but to go back and watch it again, it was just as awesome,
yeah.
You know. And it was all about that storytelling element in the whole thing.
Well, I think the Hogan and War match is one of the greatest ones because in WWE history, they've never, ever had another WWE title versus Intercontinental title winner take all.
Right.
They do the Money in the Bank or NXT when they did that with the North American title.
Right.
You know, but they don't touch that anymore with the IC title and the WWE title.
Yeah, very true. This was definitely the first time, and it was awesome, man. That crowd was amazing. What amazed me is the fact that, you know, because every time they have WrestleMania, they have it in these big stadiums. The fact that Ultimate Warrior still ran to the ring, that's just...
Dude was jacked, man.
I know, that's still insane. Well, you know, I guess when you're on the juice, right?
No comment.
Yeah, you know it's true. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, I appreciate you guys tuning into this show. I mean, we just wanted to talk about these wrestlers and, you know, because to us being fans of this sport, being fans of professional wrestling, to us, and I say this with all sincerity, to us, these guys are heroes. You know, we love to cheer them and we love to boo them. And, you know, the fact that they gave their all just so that we could be entertained, it's something that shouldn't be taken lightly. And to be quite honest, I think it's something that should be treated with a lot more respect than it gets right now. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, I loved booing him. I loved it. I wanted to see him get his ass kicked. I mean, it was just, you know, one of those things. And he did his job. That's what he wanted, you know. And so for me, I just want to say to all these wrestlers that have gone way before their time, thank you, and we will never forget you. We will get to relive your matches when we look at the network, and for people like me and my brother here, we don't take it lightly, the sacrifices that you made to be able to entertain us, and we do greatly appreciate it. How about you, Fanboy Dave?
Yeah, that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, very much so. So listen, thank you guys so much for listening. Now I want to get your appetite ready. I want you to get your taste buds just ready to taste what we got coming up for next week.
Wait, don't tell them yet.
Why not?
Because we got to tell them starting Friday.
Okay.
SmackDown.
Yes.
Live.
Yes.
People, Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
The WWE is about to show AEWCW. You poked the bear. Now, storylines and everything. And if you miss Monday Night Raw, the match between Ricochet and Johnny Drip Drip, amazing.
That was a great match.
Go watch it.
That was a great match. I will admit to that. Very good match.
Now you can give them the skinny.
All right. So here's the skinny. Fanboy Dave had a great idea for our next show. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. And I want to tell you fans right now about it, because I want you to do this also on your own. And then I want you guys to let us know what you came up with. But here's what we're going to do for next week. We're going to be fantasy bookers for next week. What we're going to do is individually, we're going to put together a WrestleMania card.
Mine's going to be better.
And we're going to use anybody, basically. Past, present, stars, and it doesn't matter where they're from. It could be WCW, it could be WWE, doesn't matter. And we're
in their prime.
Right, in their prime. And we're going to book our WrestleMania event, and we're going to talk about what we think the outcome would be and what we think, you know, how we think the match would go. We're kind of get it the details of it. So WrestleMania is usually 10 matches.
That's right.
You know, so in WrestleMania, there's always belts that are defended.
Championships.
Championships that are defended.
Vince doesn't like that word, belts. Well, so
Vince,
stop.
Vince don't run this show.
Well, I run half of it, so championships.
So we're gonna put championship matches in there. You know, we'll pick whoever the champion is, and we're just going to have fun with this. So we want you guys to get involved too. So send us what you think your fantasy booking is. Whatever you come up with, share it with us. We'd love to see it. But that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So make sure you come back here to the podcast, our beloved podcast that we love doing for you guys. All right. So if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter as well as Instagram. Just look for Brothers of Discussion and follow us. Give us a follow. Send us a comment. You know, interact with us. We want your interaction. If you have any show ideas, we'd love to hear them from you. So, again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And we look forward to next week, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I am Rob T.
And I'm Fanboy Dave.
And you've been listening to the Brothers of Discussion.